What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but I am drinking myself some, guess what I got, Jason.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to guess that there's some cranberry in there.
There's not.
Holy shit.
Easy one. Vodka. This time it's vodka and water, but I put the little flavor squirt, you know, like...
flavor squirt?
Put a flavor squirt in my water.
Okay.
The cherry flavored, so I'm having like a vodka Kool-Aid pretty much.
Okay.
But it's only 70 calories. I'm on a weight...
The calories are all in the vodka, right?
Yeah, actually, it all is.
Right.
So, and I know I'm looking here because this is where the screen is, but I know the camera's here. All right. What's up?
Camera one, camera two.
Damn it, who put it? All right, with two games in 5 days, we're pretty happy to get through the preseason and be able to look forward to week one, where the Saints' vengeance tour shall begin. But before then, we have a busy week ahead of us, specifically us. It starts with tonight's live stream recording. And then we have Thursday night's game against the Dolphins. And then you got to make sure that you tune in on Sunday. Sunday.
I'm waiting for confirmation from them. It's Sunday, possibly Monday since we're off. I don't know. I haven't heard back from them.
All right. Either way, we are going to live stream our second annual Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
/ UK Saints podcast.
UK.
The two countries, and we converge over the ocean. And we're going to do a live stream. We're going to record it. So if you can't watch it, you can at least listen to it. But for right now, let's get on with the show. You might notice that Damon is not on the stream, but he will be joining us very shortly. I know. We thought we'd have a good show.
I know, right?
Sorry, folks. So let's hurry up and do it. Get your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your butts at all times and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
All right, I'm going to go with a two. I've got a bourbon and Coke Zero here, and Damon's not here, so let's go. I'm channeling my John Machida Micro Machines man. Let's go.
Not the real thing. All right.
Wow, that was a deep pull.
Yeah, you like that?
Holy shit.
That's what she said. Scott says, and then there was two. Probably wondering why you didn't call me. Damon, like I said, Damon will be joining us. Want to welcome. We know Scott's watching. If you are watching, say hello. We'll say hello back. And again, if you're new to watching the stream, just know that if you type in the chat and it makes it on the show, we will acknowledge you and we'll talk to you. This is an interactive experience. And David Miet is on the show.
Oh, the king of Crocaville himself.
That's right. The cartel is here.
Oh, that's right. Well, we had our wise guy draft last night.
Ah, did you talk about the Dome Patrol podcast?
.com? No, not really. He came in, made his appearances, shook hands, and left, got the business. So it's okay. Right. It was too much fantasy. We were all too focused to talk about the podcast. So.
There you go. All right. Well, we did our fantasy draft this weekend, and Scott made sure to talk about the Dome Patrol podcast to all of the fantasy owners before I drafted Andrew Luck, which we'll talk about a little later. But first, let's talk about the game recap. It's Drew Brees and his perfect precision passing.
It was nice to see. I'm glad they only played the one series. We've seen Teddy and Taysom this preseason, and they've had their moments here and there. But then when you get to see the true master at work, you realize, yeah, do your thing, don't get hurt, and get out of Dodge.
Well, and how awesome is it that pass one to Kamara, pass two, Michael Thomas, touchdown, we're done. Thanks a lot, folks.
I mean, I would like to feature some other guys at some point, but I mean, defenses still can't, even though they know we have these two guys, they have not been able to stop them for 2 years.
But that's the connection that you want to make sure that you iron those. You got to make sure that's perfect when you're in the preseason. Everybody else can kind of get on board later, but that's the two that's got to work, right?
Well, especially since Thomas missed a week. I mean, you know, it just goes to show you that it didn't really matter. I mean, those guys are just so damn good. So
yeah.
But no, it was great to see. I mean, it was...
Well, you talk about missing a week, too, and I heard, I don't know if it was Peyton or somebody else talking about, this whole training camp here is really about installment, and it's more important for the rookies or the guys who are new to the team, and it's installing them or getting them acquainted with the way that we run the offense, the play calling, the plays themselves. So a player like Michael Thomas, Drew Brees, or your veterans, it's not as a big a deal for them
deal?
To
get. It's not as a big a deal.
Not as a big deal. Huh? It's a big deal. For them to be there. So him missing a week. So what? I'd rather miss the first week than the last week.
Yeah, good point.
It'd be a bigger problem if he was missing the last week.
Yeah, and him missing a week did allow some other guys to get some reps in his place. So
yeah. All right, what do you think of Lattimore? How'd he do against
He had that fumble recovery. I mean, that's good. Look, he's one of the best players on the defense. It's nice to see him. You know, I mean, look, we need to get more turnovers. I know the defense has been really good, but I really think the defense this year is going to be one of the better defenses, if not the best defense that we've had.
Yeah.
In this era, and that's what they're going to need to ensure that we advance and get where we need to go.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number? Or how you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling all right. How about yourself?
Good. We are just getting into the game recap where we just talked about Drew Brees. You got anything to say about how he did?
No, I mean, that's what we expect from Drew.
All right.
That's what we expect from him. That's what the offense hopefully looks like.
Yeah. All right, John Tyson, welcome. Thanks for joining. Hope you stay for longer than 5 minutes.
What's up, John?
.com. All right. We're talking about Lattimore. And you like what you see from him. That's what you expect to see from him.
Yeah. I mean, look,
anything about Lattimore this year?
I mean, it's not like they really haven't done much, but I'm, you know, it's a cornerback. It's hard, you know, unless they get a pick, you're not going to really talk about him a ton. But it's nice to see him force that fumble, you know, take the ball away. That's going to be a big part. And look, we expect him to continue his progression. I mean, he's already one of the better cornerbacks in the league. We need him to keep going. So it's something you like to see.
Okay, I want to point something out that there's this cool stuff on Facebook Live that as people watch. So like John Tyson has like a tag, a badge of being like a follower, which is pretty cool because Scott has a tag for being a sharer because every time he watches, he shares it with everybody, starts a watch party and whatnot. And David Miette actually has a badge that is the 5. It has a number 5 on it, and I guess that's for 5 years anniversary follower.
Oh, so
he's been following us on Facebook for 5 years, I guess is what that means. So that's pretty cool. So get on the Facebook Live and claim your badge, people.
King of compulsion. Wouldn't expect any less.
All right. So that's pretty cool stuff. Okay. Defense, first team defense, looking good. We just talked about Lattimore, obviously.
Right. Well, I mean, look, yeah, played well, got the takeaway. And, you know, I mean, again, I was at a draft, so I didn't get to see a ton of it. Did Cam Jordan play at all? I really don't remember.
Well, whether he did or not,
just goes to show you how much I really pay attention to the preseason, but, you know, I was also distracted with something else. So
I mean, here's the thing. So Cam Jordan didn't play in the first two games, right?
Correct. Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, I don't need him to play.
You're not going to play at any preseason games?
If he doesn't, that's fine with me. I don't care. I mean, I'd rather him not play than play and get hurt. I mean, we know how good he is. We know what he can do. So it's more about, you know.
Well, and he's going to make the other side better.
Either Davenport or Hendrickson, who's having a really good camp.
Right, yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but has Davenport been meh?
He's been meh, yeah. You could say he's been meh.
But would he – that meh is because Cam Jordan's not on the other side.
I mean, sure. That's I'm sure that's some of it. Sure, that's some of it.
I hope it's a lot of it,
so.
Or all of it. I'm looking to see if Jordan has any stats to see
probably not. Yeah, I'm guessing he didn't play.
Yeah, I don't think he played. All right, then let's move to a special team.
Ralph, you'll be on special team.
I'm special.
And somebody we talked about last week had just wanted to prove us right. I guess the Deontay Harris got himself. He broke it free. He got the touchdown.
He got himself a roster spot.
He got, I mean, which is why Sherrill's decided to hurry up and get back to practice.
Right. I mean, that's it. He locked up a roster spot, 100%.
How amazing is that? We read his little bio last week about how he was the greatest in NCAA history. He had like 8 returns for touchdowns last year or 2 years ago in college. And then the very next week he comes, and granted it's preseason, but a freaking touchdown right out there.
He still did. The fact that we have a guy that can do that, where like if a punt goes back, you're like, okay, he could take it back. We have not had that in such a long time.
Yeah. And Mike Effler is watching. Hello to Mike.
Fuck the Falcons.
Right. Fuck the Falcons on Twitter. He says, don't play any starters, which is typical for your last preseason game. And says it hasn't affected Trey. I guess you're talking about the Cam Jordan effect. And we were talking about more of it affecting Davenport. All right, so Deontay Harris, you like him? So what's Cheryl's going to be doing? Looking for another team?
Looking for another job.
All right.
I mean, simple as that.
I don't need him. I don't need him, right? I mean, you don't need him.
Well, what's he play? Like, I'm assuming he's a defensive back. We're already loaded at the cornerback and safety position. So if all he's going to do is
– something we would have said 5 years ago, 3 years ago.
That's not what we are. That 3 years ago. I mean, it's insane. Like, we're probably going to – I mean, Crawley's probably going to get cut. I know we all rag on Crawley, but somebody's probably going to pick him up. Correct. I agree, Mike.
Right.
I knew what you were trying to say. Jeff was looking
point.
The other way.
Cam, yeah. I was reading what he said. Cam, I'm like, no, he's going to make that fucking point.
All right. It's a good point.
But he hasn't affected Trey. Or I see what he's saying. Aha. He hasn't affected Trey. He shouldn't be affecting Davenport. Davenport shouldn't be – his quality of play shouldn't be based on whether Cam's there or not, because Trey's fine. What
look
about
at you? Davenport? Look at you learning.
I'm learning.
All right. I got you, Mike. I got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right. Next piece is your Taysom versus Teddy. Big show down. Last chance coming up for the Dolphins game. But in the Jets game, it looks like if you're keeping score, they pretty much played the same.
Yeah, I mean, Taysom's rating was a little better. I mean, he had one good long throw in the game to Grayson, I think. You know, they both played okay. But, again, we realize, I mean, they're not Drew. But I do like the fact that, you know, Taysom really had a bad first game, and he's been better the last two games. So that does show a progression. He is getting the reps. So that's good that it seems to be that he's getting better at his craft of actually being a quarterback.
Yes, and it also proves that Sean Payton was not lying about last week, that Teddy was sick last week, because he got back on the horse and he played just fine.
He did all right, yeah.
You know what will happen is they'll both be on the team. That's what's going to happen, folks. They're both going to make the team. And you mark it here. You heard it here first.
Oh, really? It's a bold prediction?
Bold prediction. Oh, that's coming up. Sunday. We got to have our bold predictions ready. For
oh, shit.
Sunday's or okay. Monday's live show. All right.
So there seems to be I don't know if you want to do this now or save it for our luck conversation about – and Damon even texted it to us. If you want to look at the comment, just let me know if you want to do it now or wait until later.
Cheryl – about Josh Caro's comment. Yes, Josh, yes. We're going to bring that up because that's also, I think, in looking at tweets too. So a lot of people are talking about that. But yeah, I'm going to pin that comment. We'll get to that in a minute. In the meantime, Dave Miette says Cheryl wants to practice for a week, so maybe he can get picked up by another team. Oh, we have very smart viewers.
Right. Only the best.
Mike, David, Scott, y'all, and Josh Carey, everybody's bringing up some good comments.
Well, I mean, you would think. I mean, now that Harris has locked up a spot, I mean, do you even want to play him this week? I mean, if he's your punt returner, he's your kicker.
No, and you give Cheryl's a chance. Not to make this team, but Sean Payton. Right. That's been a talking point this offseason or this preseason,
or even in general.
Sean Payton has preached to his players: you're not fighting for a position only on this team. You're fighting for a position on 32 teams because everybody else is watching, and our next. You know, fifth receiver might not be on the roster right now. So, yeah, I mean, that's a very good point that Cheryl's deserves a chance to showcase that, look, I can still play in case there is a team that needs my talents. But Saints, we're cool. We're good.
Yeah, we're all right. But Peyton has always been good about, you know, if he knows guys aren't going to make it here, trying to help them out and seeing if they can, you know, showcase them and latch them on somewhere else. So
yeah. All right. There is another – I call it a battle. I don't know. But the whole Washington versus Ozigbo. And did it become Ozigbo's job because of Washington's concussion?
I still think Washington's better. I just, you know, concussions can linger. I mean, that's a it's really a tough injury. Some guys come back sooner than others. If it's not that serious, you know, and he goes through the protocol, and I don't expect that to happen. But if it's worse, then, you know, if he has to sit like a week or two, then they'll probably run with the Zigbo and then bring in Washington.
Do you carry them both? I mean, they have room on the 53.
I think we only carry three because we carry the fullback, because we carry Zach Lyon. If we didn't carry a fullback, we'd probably keep all four of them.
Okay. But can you drop one to the practice squad?
You could drop a Zigbo. And I guess technically you drop Washington too, but Washington's good enough. Some team might claim him. I mean, look at fucking Houston. Houston has no running backs now after losing Miller. I mean, they have Duke Johnson, but they have nobody else.
And that's funny because, like, here we are. I mean, you think about the Saints running back stable since Sean Payton got here. I mean, it's been like the LSU running back stable.
Well,
there
was the 1 year in 2010 where everybody got hurt, and that's why we traded up to get Ingram.
Right.
Once we had Ingram, we've been pretty steady. But that year, I mean, everybody got hurt. I mean, fuck, we brought in Julius Jones from the scrap heap for a couple of games to run for us that year. And even in the playoff game, the Seattle game, like everybody, like Reggie got hurt. I mean, everybody got hurt. We didn't have anybody left.
Yeah.
But I think since then.
But they were on the team. What I'm talking about is the roster has been like we. I remember before Deuce that there was this dry spell. Remember when we had like Lorenzo Neal was drafted? What was it like? Derek Brown, Derek Nett. Like, do you even remember?
We had like Gil Finnerty.
I mean, I remember my childhood. There was like other than Dalton Hilliard,
right? Probably after Dalton Hilliard, from Dalton Hilliard and Reuben Mays up until Ricky Williams, we had a dry
spell. It was dry. Yeah. And I was like my formative years, and so.
Well, you don't. Yeah, you're missing Craig Hayward, Ironhead.
Yes. Well, he was played with Dalton.
Right. Yeah. He was in the. Right. Once the downhill and up until Hazlitt, you know, and Dick had drafted Ricky, it was a.
Yeah.
Not swell.
So it's just nice that like here we are. We got two guys, Washington and Ozigbo, fighting for a spot, and we actually like both options. I honestly don't think, like, if you lose one and you keep the other, it does, like, to me, they'll both work out.
But also, I mean, this is the third running back spot. I don't anticipate them getting a lot of action behind the two that we have.
I hope they don't. But they will be used, you know. About
Oh, yeah, sure.
Throughout the year. Maybe that'll be a bold prediction that Ozigbo gets 200 yards on the season.
Okay. For what team? Aha.
Let's see what he did. Uh-huh. All right. Farmer says you wouldn't be able to use Taysom like you do if you don't have another number two quarterback.
It would be risky. Risking injury, yeah.
So, I mean, and of course you're going to come because you're not – you're going to carry Taysom in the QB position, but that's not why you're having
him. Right. He's not going to decide games for you at the QB position.
Yeah. Oh, but I see why he said what he said. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're continuing to learn things.
Learning.
Sammy, shut up.
Okay.
That is all I have for game recap. Do you guys have anything else?
No major injuries other than Washington's concussion, right? So, I mean, that's good. Yay.
Yay.
Hey, Damon. We won. I mean, I guess that's good. Yay.
Yeah. Oh, last week it didn't matter. moving on to fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people? With the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Shit is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news. Shit is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake.
One of the reasons I'm
and the only real fake news I had was really about practice attendance this week.
Well,
Sheldon Rankins is back.
That's the big one.
Ah, how's that make you feel?
I mean, I expected him to miss at minimum 8 games. I mean, torn Achilles, and it was in the playoff game. I thought there's no way he's not going to be back before November. You know, a torn Achilles, and he's a 300-pound guy. That's got to be a tough injury to come back from. But, I mean, they said he was progressing well. But, I mean, how many times has Peyton said he's progressing on schedule and he's out for 4 more weeks than everybody thought? So, we're
surprised. He was surprised.
I mean.
According to him.
I mean, I think we all were. I don't think anybody expected it. All right. So you're thinking, I mean, he's activated from the pup, but he's not going to play for, you know, like Mike said, Underhill said, probably 4, 5, 6 weeks. I thought 8 games was a minimum he was going to miss, and it looks like it's going to be less than that, which is fantastic. It's a shame that he got, because he really fucking came on at the end of the year last year. You know, I'm ready to see that little shimmy again.
Who did the shimmy at practice? Was it Teddy? Teddy Bridgewater?
He did one. I think a couple other players did it too.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. All right. Also, Greenbaum did say, don't diss on Gil Finnerty. The greatest white running back in Saints history is a Jesuit grad.
I mean, hey, the fact that he made the NFL is for a Jesuit guy to make the NFL at running back. I mean, I'm not dissing him.
Don't forget, and he was also in Tecmo Bowl, and he was pretty good in Tecmo Bowl. And Brad Muster was also. You going to count him? Or
he did play for the Saints, right, for a year or two?
Certainly did. He certainly did.
Wow.
That's a deep pull.
We're cornered on the market on white running backs.
I mean, is that the only two in Saints history? Damon, you're the resident historian. Do you remember any other white running backs?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, not counting fullbacks, yes. If you go back to the 70s or whatever, I don't remember any.
That's true. Yeah, we've had plenty of fullbacks. Who was before? Who was the Super Bowl before Zach Lein? Shit. Caught the touchdown against Dallas.
No, we had Heath Evans and we had Mike Carney.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking of, I think. There you go. So, yes. White fullback. That's a standard position for a white guy.
Well, yeah, it's fullback.
All right. And apparently linebacker sometimes. But speaking of them, Alex Anzalone, what's the deal with him?
Yeah, I don't know. Are they just playing it safe?
I mean, the dude's not even practicing.
I mean, yeah,
that's why, I mean, I think we mentioned it when it happened that the injury to Robinson was so bad, too.
Craig Robertson, yeah.
Yeah.
So, DeMario Davis.
Yeah,
DeMario and Davis. Mr. Coach Klein.
Who are the other?
Good thing they're good.
Klein's good enough. I mean, I thought he'd be a little better when we signed him from Carolina, but he's good enough.
Yeah. Well, it's like he has his moments, but he also has his moments.
Well, we were hoping that he couldn't get on the field in Carolina because he was behind Keekly.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's what I was hoping, you know, that, oh, he can't get there because of Keekly. But anyway, yeah, he's good enough. He's, you know, but besides those two, Davis and him, who else do we have?
I mean,
you better call old Matty Tam.
Saul. Oh yeah, where is Teo? What's he doing?
I don't think he's on. I don't know that he's on the
team.
He's
not on the team. He ain't on this team. He ain't on anything.
Which is crazy, considering how he came in 17 and played well enough when we needed him. And
right.
Huh.
His girlfriend called him and asked him to come take a look at help him.
You had to go there. Really?
Of course. Of course.
Low hanging fruit.
Keep heat.
All right, Anzalo with his wife. Anzalone, my question is, if he is hurt, are we reaching this point where is it worth – you start asking that question. Is it worth keeping him on the team if he's only good for 6 games a year?
For now, it's worth keeping him on the roster. I mean
right. – I don't think he's making a ton of money. He's fine.
Right. I mean, he missed some time as rookie year, but as far as I know, he played every game last year. I don't think he was injured.
True. True. I think you're right.
See Mike's comment.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, Mike's comment. It's a sad day when Jeff and I make the same joke. We do it a lot, Mike, a lot more often than you think. Another thing Mike wants to know is, can any of us name a black fullback not named Ironhead or Neal?
Or Lorenzo Neal.
Ironhead wasn't a fullback. He was a...
Oh, he was a fullback. Come on.
No, that's not... No.
He was a bowling ball.
Right. 280-pound guy. He's not a fullback.
He's not. That's not the position he played.
Right.
What did he play? We're going to get technical on us now.
Right. He's just doing that to make –
being contrarian?
Right. I mean, there was some former fullback for the Ravens that was tweeting at the NFL about the concussion settlement and he can't sleep at night and his brain's all fucked up. Like when I saw the story about him, like I knew who he was, but I couldn't pull up his name now.
What? And Mike said, Craig Hayward may have been a fullback here and a halfback elsewhere. Maybe because I know he went to Chicago after he left the Saints.
I thought he went to Atlanta after us.
No, he went to Chicago. Maybe he played like his last year in Atlanta. Maybe I don't know. I lost track of him after Chicago. But he said in the entire history of the NFL, a black fullback other than Lorenzo Neal.
We know they exist, but those are the only two that come to mind for me.
Right. I know. All right, but if you think about it, anybody, if you can think of one, go ahead and do it. And Eppler did say that he played halfback in Atlanta. Okay, so Cook.
Yeah, no, I mean, he went to Chicago for only 1 year, so it's funny you lost track of him after he went to Chicago.
He wasn't a Saint.
Well, but he played in Atlanta for 2 years.
Ah, okay. Mm. Mm. Where did he come back to the Saints to retire as a Saint?
No.
Okay.
He wasn't that loved. Deuce, you know. But from 94 to 96, he played with Atlanta, then went to the Rams, who at the time happened to be, you know, in our division too. And anyway, right. He passed away.
Did he?
Yeah. Sure did.
Yeah, he had the cancer.
Yeah, but his son's a good player for Pittsburgh. Cam Hayward.
He would be a candidate for CTE study.
Who?
Oh, probably. I think any
Ironhead Hayward. His literal, his name, he led with his head. That's how he ran.
Well, I mean, he was a bruising style. I'm not sure, you know, is why he got the name. I'm not sure he headbutted everyone on the road.
I think he did. Listen, I'm going to live in my own reality, all right?
He does it every day.
That's right. All right, so the next thing is
– and he's there, and on Wikipedia, and I'm sure everywhere else, he is listed as a fullback. The man was not a halfback.
That's what we said.
And then you were saying he wasn't.
You were saying the other way, jackass.
No. Y'all were saying halfback.
Oh, my God. Check the tape.
It wasn't a fullback. He was a.
Oh, he was a fullback. Come on.
No, that's not. No.
He was a bowling ball.
Right. 280 pound guy. He's not a fullback.
He's not. That's not the position he played.
I'm going to tell you, Damon, it's okay. I get accused of this every other day, if not every day, by Andrea, that I say something and then 5 seconds later she says something. I'm like, I never said that. And she's like, you literally just said it. All right. It's okay. You're a guy. It happens to the best of us. Now, can I get on to Jared Cook? What's his deal? Why is he not practicing or playing? Is he hurt? Because they just say
I'm going to assume he's hurt. I mean, all these – the second time, you have what's wrong with Anzalone? Yeah, I'm assuming.
No, I'm talking about Jared Cook. Jared Cook.
I'm assuming. Don't we all assume he's hurt if he's not practicing?
I do, but I'm a little concerned about that. We kind of need him.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well,
like, out of all the injuries, that's the one that matters most.
Because that's the one that should have the biggest impact, especially on offense where we need another pass catcher.
He's our second receiver.
Yeah. I mean, we need it because, I mean, otherwise you're relying on Traquan and Ginn, and I mean, if even Kirkwood makes and Butler, I mean, there's so many unknowns. Where
you count on Butler?
I'm not counting on any of these other guys.
I don't think Butler's going to make this team.
It's all.
Well, they've kind of the shine has kind of come off of him over the last couple of weeks. You know, beginning of camp, he was the. You know, he was the next.
Marcus Golston.
Well, and look, remember last year in camp, it was like, holy shit, Traquan Smith. Like, Traquan Smith was a monster in camp last year.
Right.
And he had a couple games where he had his moments. Right.
He actually caught when he got thrown the ball.
I'm expecting Traquan Smith to, you know, improve this year.
We're going to need a big improvement from him this year.
Which I haven't seen him, but what, one or two catches in the preseason, which is fine.
But again, Brees has thrown six passes. So that's another thing about the receivers. The greatest quarterback of all time has thrown six passes to these guys. So, you know.
All right.
All right, y'all want to move on? Do look at him tweets. So this one comes in from Big Easy Guy John, and here we go. We're going to get right into it. Here's the dream scenario. Luck retired, right? In 2 years after Breeze retires, Luck has a comeback. The Saints need a quarterback, and we have cap room. Indy has moved on with a hot quarterback, Clemson or Ohio State or somewhere. We sign Luck.
Well, we still have to trade something for Indianapolis. Indianapolis didn't claw back or demand back any of his signing bonus.
So how long did how long would they technically own his rights? Just forever? Like if he comes back, is he still owned?
I think so, sure.
By the Colts? Okay.
Sure, because if he's not playing, those years don't go away. They're kind of, you know, we have a contract for 3 years. You haven't performed, you know, you haven't played.
I just figured it's over. But
it's over, so he can come back and sign with anybody.
I mean, like, I don't know how that works. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a new thing now where you're seeing more guys retire early. I mean, like Gronk retired at, 29 or 30, and he came out today and said, yeah, like life wasn't fun. Football
Mike
was
said, no, the Colts only own him until 2022. Also, the point that I was thinking of is people want him back after 2 years, but they swear cap's dead. I mean, that's my thing. Like, if he does come back in a couple of years, he's out of football for 2 years.
Why?
That's not the scenario I'm thinking of. Now, we got a few more to come up with, so let me just move forward. All right, Breeze comes in. All right, real quick, we'll switch back to the game. Breeze comes in for one. This is from American Red 212, Sean Hester. Breeze comes in for one series, looked like he never missed a beat. Does that help ease some of the concern of people who think he's due for a letdown season?
Well, those people are stupid. I mean, I don't know. Who's thinking that Breeze was going to have a letdown season?
The people who thought he was coming down, he was getting tired at the end of last year.
Well, I'm not saying that toward the end of the year that he's not a different player. I think over the long stretch, I mean, it's obviously easier when you're 40. Both of y'all old timers know that. You know. Mm-hmm.
And we brought it up, like, was he possibly injured last year? Was it just
right?
You know, I mean, look, I mean, at some point, he's 40 years old. It's just the human body will wear down after a year of throwing balls.
And when we get to the Super Bowl, he'll be 41 when we get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But Peyton Manning managed to win the Super Bowl.
Because he had one of the better defenses ever.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
It helped.
And Drew Brees is much better than Peyton Manning was. Not even close. I mean, Drew Brees is head. Was Manning 41 that year? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I don't even think he was that old. I think he was maybe 39.
I don't think so. Right. Yeah. But he had a beating. He had the neck surgery that.
But also, like, and Mike's going to bring up some point. And like I mentioned to Jeff at the beginning, it's like, I think this year our defense is going to carry the team and Breeze is going to be plenty good enough.
Yeah.
I think Breeze is going to be plenty good enough to win games, but I think our defense is going to be good enough to where we're not, you know, it's not going to matter. Like Breeze could be mediocre and I think we'll still be good enough to win, but I think Breeze is still going to be.
What have you seen that have given you that? Impression?
Well, our starters have played like three downs so far. So I think,
I think this
team is way too fucking talented. And now that you're telling me that we might get Rankins back a couple of games earlier than what we thought, I think our defense is going to be really fucking good.
All right, here's one. All right,
who did we add? Was our defense really fucking good?
Our defense was pretty good, and we didn't add anybody. You were talking about a bunch of 1 and 2 year guys last year who are now going to be in years 2 and 3. There's a natural progression to their.
Shut up.
There's a natural progression. To the peak of their ability, and this is where we're coming. We didn't have to add anybody. It's just young guys getting better.
Yeah. So, okay, speaking of that, then Tony Young on Facebook says, are you guys concerned about the Saints' cornerback depth? If Lattimore or Apple goes down, the Saints are in trouble.
Yep.
I mean
– Good call. Good call, Tony.
Well, hold on. I mean, we're not going to be –
Can you name me the team that loses a starting cornerback and isn't in trouble.
I mean, look, those guys, 1 and 2, but we've got guys that can fill in a gap. Unless it's like a season-ending injury, then we're probably fucked. But if it's just like, yeah, Lattimore is going to miss 2 weeks, I don't think we're going to be that bad off with some of the guys we have back there.
P-Ron.
There's a lot of depth in that defensive backfield.
Look,
this isn't like a couple of years ago when we had to pull
There's more depth than we've had in many, many years. But, I mean, to say if P-Rob – Mike mentioned P-Rob there. I mean, if P-Rob is starting at cornerback
– We're in trouble.
I'm nervous. No,
why? He's not
– Because he's not good there.
What are you talking –
He's not good on the outside.
He's our nickel cornerback.
Right, he's a slot cornerback, not an outside cornerback.
Okay, we can have a defensive
coverage. Listen, you fucking ball-headed cunt. He's a fucking slot cornerback.
How many minutes
did
it take?
Not a fucking outside cornerback. You fucking retard. Okay? What the fuck don't you understand that? Why the fuck can't you say, yeah, if we have to put P-Rob on the outside, you know, we're going to be in trouble.
For half a season, sure. For 2 games, we're not going to be that bad. There's enough depth in the backfield to help.
No, they won't throw. So for 2 games, they're not going to throw at him. But if it's 3 games, they'll throw at him.
They're still going to throw at him, but, I mean, fuck, we still got Lattimore on the other side or Apple on the other side. It's not going to be a death knell that you think it is. It's not.
So, Mike is on Facebook saying, PFF rated P-Rob in the top 5 in his year with the Cowboys. Quit remembering his rookie year. Mike, I'm not remembering his rookie year.
P-Rob wasn't going to play with the Cowboys.
He wasn't.
P-Rob never with the fucking Cowboys. So, tell Mike, whoever the fucking is, to take his head out of his fucking ass. You know?
All right, good news. We'll see you next time. Scott, he's going to bed. He's got to wake up early. All right, so that's our late show. He can't stay up for the Dome Patrol After Dark. But no, the point, to me, P-Rob was good in Philadelphia, wasn't he? That's where
Philadelphia. Yeah, really
the way they used him. That's what the Saints did with him last year, which is why he was better when he
Well, no, he didn't. He played a game?
So maybe you don't put him outside. Maybe you leave him in the slot and you put PJ Williams at the outside. I mean, he's not Lattimore or Apple, but Jesus Christ, there's enough guys back there to help out. It's not like we're stuck with, holy shit, we got to put Devontae Harris and Ken Crawley back there to help him out. We're better than that now. If that was the case, yes, I'd say we would be fucked. We would be completely fucked. Whoa, but that's not the case.
I haven't seen PJ Williams gives – PJ Williams doesn't give me the same confidence he gives you.
No. I mean, he doesn't give me too much confidence, but he gives me enough confidence to survive 2 or 3 games with him. We can live with that. There's enough guys back there to help him that we could live with.
The point, and I think the whole point is they will not carry – the team to victory, that is going to force Breeze to carry the team to victory.
Okay, and for a couple of games.
Hold on. The whole conversation started about Breeze. Sometimes we might, especially at the end of the year, might need the defense to help out.
And I think
Breeze,
we're going to get it.
Carry this team 18 games.
And that's what I'm saying. He's not going to have to. When we need him
he
for
will
a couple
if of, Apple gets hurt.
Maybe. You know, I mean, we'll see.
And that's
right. I mean, look, we're going to need Breeze for games, but I think for the most part, our defense is going to be good enough where we're not going to need him to. And sure, if a starting cornerback goes out, yes, it's going to be tough, but we do have a lot of depth back there now. I think we can overcome it for a short stretch. Now, if it's Lattimore gets hurt week 3 and Apple gets hurt week 4, yeah, we're fucked. We are fucked.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Then call it in. Yeah. All right. So good. Yeah. If all our players on defense get hurt, we're fucked. Got it. Okay. Now,
I just said our 2 cornerbacks.
They matter. All right. Let's see. Where are we? If Breeze comes. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, so Greenbaum did leave before we can get to his tweet, but it is the one that I think everybody's talking about. I'm gonna read it, which you've already read it if you're watching. Y'all are going to talk about it while I go make a new drink. But with Luck retiring, do you think the Saints might look at trading Bridgewater for some picks and or some players? I know the answer is probably hell no, but go ahead and explain why.
I don't understand. I mean, I assume he means trade him to Indianapolis.
Yes, which you text. I mean, if you want to go first, I'll go first. Whatever you want to do.
No, I mean, you can go first.
I mean, the Colts aren't going to trade for him because, I mean, they're not going to waste picks on that. But also, I don't think Brissett is going to be that bad. I mean, is he the super long term answer? Maybe not, but he's been in their system. He's been practicing with them all summer. And he's come in and played games with the Patriots and with the Colts. I mean, he had the 1 year with the Colts where Luck was out when they had just traded for him, and he struggled because they had just traded him to the team. But being on the team, learning the offense, and having an entire couple years with the team, and that team is talented enough, I don't think they're going to be that bad. I still think they could win that division even with Brissett. So I don't think they're trading for – we may even look to trade Bridgewater, but I don't think they're taking calls.
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, they don't – they're with Brissett for this year no matter what, you know. And then Bridgewater, I think his trade value is less today than it was 3 weeks ago.
I think for sure. And that's like Mike just said. I mean, is anything – you know, what's to say it's not like there's on film like, oh, yeah, Bridgewater is definitely better than Brissett now.
Look, I mean, here's my take on Bridgewater and why we have him, okay? And I don't think he's the future going forward. Or if that was Sean Payton thinking, then the future is ugly. But I think, you know, Teddy Bridgewater – to a small extent, with like Foles in Philadelphia. Remember, you know, Wentz went down and Foles were able to carry them last 7 games, including the playoffs. And I think if, God forbid, something would ever happen to Drew, I mean, it's a huge drop-off. But Drew Brees is fucking, you know, like Jason said, the greatest quarterback of all time. So there's going to be a drop-off with anybody but not named Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers in that building. But maybe Teddy, you know, Jason, if you like Jason, you think the defense is going to give you the huge chance to win, then Teddy could be a game manager.
All right. You know? So if you guys agreed that, because I missed it, recap, don't trade Teddy or do.
Well, I'll say trade Teddy if you can get something for him, but we can't get anything for him.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Next tweet comes from Who Dat Fits. Where is it? Right here. Patriots just lost their starting center to a blood clot. The Saints been trade partners with them quite a few times. What wouldn't be surprised if they traded Nick Easton? That's if the Pats have something we want in return. Would you be willing to take that kind of a risk and lose Easton, or is Easton more valuable as backup, just general offensive line player?
I think he is.
Right?
100%.
Can he play in Armstead's position for when he gets hurt? Can he go that far outside?
I don't know.
No, but Pete could, and then Easton can actually move in, slide over to the left.
Yeah, you never really want to trade, you know, offensive linemen, man. You never have enough offensive linemen.
Right? Especially on the Saints roster. Doesn't it feel like that? Like, we lose offensive linemen like 2 or 3 a year.
Yeah, it does feel like that, but I'm sure.
Maybe not the whole year, but
they're
always.
Teams do too, but we just focus on the Saints.
Right. But maybe we feel, and maybe that's happened all our lives as Saints fans, but it's more impactful because it's Breeze that we're protecting and not Aaron Brooks or something. I don't know. It's just, yeah, I don't know that I would be so quick to let go of Easton. I
agree. Yes.
All right. Chris Holloway, how many wins will the Saints need this season for Damon to win his season tickets back? Aha!
There is none. There's not a number.
All right, we'll check that. You're gonna go to a game though. You're just not having season tickets.
Right. I mean, if they win 16-0, I would say they only win 16-0 because I wasn't there. So I'd be happy. You know, But yeah, I would have hated to miss the 16-0 season. But
it's like me, like moving out of the New Orleans area in 2009. They win the Super Bowl that year. If I'd have known, it would have taken me to leave.
Right, you'd have left
a long time ago. Right. All right, and then finally, Dr. Hudat says, are you guys planning on going to any away games this year? I'll be at the Chicago game on week 7. So I don't. We're not planning anything, right?
No, we had wanted to do
Tennessee
the Titans because it was a nice thing. But Jeff is getting married that weekend, I think.
Is it that weekend? I thought it was.
No, it's not that weekend. I think it's the weekend before or after.
You know, I know because it's right before Christmas, and I got a big job due then. But I think I'm going to crank that job out before that. I think I may still try to go to Tennessee. I really want to go to Nashville.
Well, Mike, come to Seattle in all caps. Mike, first of all, Mike, you moved to Seattle? He moved back?
He did.
Oh.
I don't think Tennessee is going to be that good this year. So at the end of the year, if they're like 5-whatever at that point, it's going to be easy to score some tickets. So it's not like we have to buy tickets super far in advance. It should be easy for us to do a last second. Hey, let's do an Airbnb. Let's get some tickets. And it should be fine. So I'm still holding out hope for Tennessee, just because I think Nashville.
All right. So that's it for Look at Him tweets. I'm going to move on to, I guess it would be final thoughts because there is one more thing. So we could do it as NFL reach round, or unless y'all did talk about the whole Andrew Luck retirement.
We really didn't. I'd like to talk about it.
You know what I mean? We talked around it, but
I agree. I'd like to talk about it.
So talk about it then, Damon. What do you think about this?
Well, you know, everybody, I don't know, you listen to the buzz and the social media and everybody. I can understand. I mean, I believe what he says, you know, in his retirement press conference. You know, he was tired of being hurt and he's done. I don't think he's a bad guy for retiring. You know, it makes shows what Breeze does is even more amazing. You know, he's 11 years or 10 years older than Luck. But one of the things that I'm curious on, they said, look, this wouldn't have happened 30 years ago. Because Luck has the money to retire at 29. You know, he's made $100 million just in his NFL contracts. That's not counting his other things coming
in. It's not counting his flip phone cell deal.
Look, I don't know what that is, but you know, but whatever. But
he still uses a flip phone. He doesn't use an iPhone. He still has a flip phone.
Okay.
He doesn't want to be traced. He doesn't want the government finding him.
Right.
Maybe
So how much did retire? You know, how much did that play into it? You know, that, yes, he had the money to retire.
I mean, could he be any richer?
Yes.
I see what you did there. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely helps that he doesn't have to worry about money anymore. But, I mean, he went to Stanford. He's a smart guy. And, I mean, look, I can't picture – look, these NFL guys – much fucking pain that we have no idea. I mean, Gronk talked about it today. He's pushing the CBD oils and and with all the injuries that he's only been in the league.
Imagine that. Gronk is an advocate for weed.
I mean, look at – I don't blame him.
Well, I think Gronk came in the league the same year as Jimmy Graham, which was 2010. So, yeah. You know, Gronk played 8 years.
All right.
But, you know – the average NFL career is only 3 years, but anyway.
Let me ask you about this. This because this is the take I have on it is how when it first came out, and I was drunk, and I had just drafted him that afternoon. Stupid.
That is funny.
Of course you did.
That is funny.
That's if there's ever a classic Jeff, that's it.
And. Did I mention I was drunk? And yes, I texted a few people about, you know, fuck that piece of shit. Pizza. And then you wake up the next day, you sober up, and you kind of realize, you know, no, this guy, nobody knows, because you see what Doug Gottlieb tweeted, and then Troy Aikman.
Fucking moron, yeah.
Oh, fuck me.
His ass on it. And, you know, he's right. Like, nobody knows what's going on. Like, nobody is Andrew Luck. I did go on an OJ rant, Mike. And
shit.
So the fact that he's feels the need to, or the, whatever to retire, granted, I don't care about the money. But the bottom line is the guy doesn't want to play football anymore, and it's his choice. And everybody who says fuck him, fuck you. The guy doesn't owe you shit. Okay?
Fuck me. No, right, fuck you.
Fuck you. and you know, and I don't know. Like, it does make me wonder, like, is the reason he's retiring because he's just tired of getting beat up, or is the reason he retired? It almost reminds me of the movie Any Given Sunday about the whole, like, there's this mounting pressure to play hurt because the team is paying you to play and we need you to get on that field. And he's kind of like having this existential awakening where it's like, you know what? This isn't what I want my life to be.
Well, and that's partly what he said. I mean, he's been dealing with injuries for the last 3 years. I mean, he missed an entire season 2 or 3 years ago. He's had a torn labrum, like cracked ribs. Now he's got some kind of mysterious calf injury. Like, the guy is constantly in pain. Like, could you live your – if you were just in pain every single fucking day, it'd get old quick.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're making a lot of money playing football, but, you know, like you said, if you got enough money to not do it, like, why would you consistently live in fucking pain every day?
Well, definitely – I mean
– And Mike says in his interview, he said it's just – he's tired of the rehab and he can't live a normal life and football isn't fun anymore. And that's kind of the point I'm trying to –
I believe –
rehab is fine, but it's rehab to be the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. It's intense. It's not, and now to this point, football for him is no longer fun. It's a job. And I always used to say that when I swam or whatever, and people like, oh, you know, I could have got a scholarship at a small, tiny little school, but it's still a scholarship nonetheless. And I'd rather not, because I don't want to swim because I have to. I want to swim because I want to. Now, granted, if I could jump in the water today, I'll sink, but.
Nah. That close.
Oh, shit.
That's true. That is true. That is true. Greg Loisel. When I was 18, Greg Loisel still beat me in the 25-yard freestyle.
What also floats in water?
And Chris Sandberg says it. I mean, we don't know what he's gone through, really, but I respect him for it. It must be something big enough to make this kind of a decision.
Well, I get people say, well, people keep saying that. We don't know what he's going through. We don't know what he's going through. I believe he said it in his press conference. I mean, I believe what the man says, you know?
Yeah.
That's so I don't get the, you know, like this, oh, well, he grabbed the money and ran. I don't think that's it at all.
Fuck no.
The guy paid a lot of – he paid a hefty price to play in the NFL. Like most, like you said, Drew Brees is the greatest in the NFL because Drew Brees was fortunate enough not to get hurt after 2005, but after the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is his entire career with the Saints, he's avoided getting hurt.
Well, I mean, helps.
He's only missed one game.
Right.
Andrew Luck is the Saints.
That's part of the problem. Ryan Grigson, his previous GM, totally fucked him. Like, they were set up.
I mean, yeah.
Think about the Colts. You had Peyton Manning for 15 years. He gets hurt. You suck the 1 year, and then you get another franchise guy in Luck. And Grigson whiffed, other than maybe that first draft, Grigson whiffed on all these picks. And Luck was like the most pressured, most hit quarterback.
He was
in the
most
league.
Of his first 3 years. It totally fucked
him. You can blame a lot of this on Ryan Grigson.
Luck could have been not barring injury. He could have been one of the greats.
Right,
football would have been fun for him, and he never would have retired until he was 40 years old.
Right. Somebody, you know, talking about, you know, would you feel sorry for him, or they said that they don't, that, you know, look, I don't feel sorry for the man. I mean, you know, he made his money, but I do feel sorry for the potential not reached. You know what I'm saying?
Because he actually lived up to the hype when he came out, like, this is the guy, and he actually lived up to it. Now, he sucked against the Patriots, but he did good. He did pretty good everywhere else. I mean,
him and everybody else suck against the Patriots.
Everybody, yeah, except the Saints, which actually sometimes we did. So, I didn't see his contract the other.
But no, does
he owe any money?
Technically, he did. The Colts said, we're not going to make you pay him, so they're letting him keep it. Damon, you turned into Darth Vader?
Calm down there, Vader.
Right.
I was holding the phone with my mouth.
He saw that new Rise of Skywalker trailer, and he
got like, I like the stairs.
But another thing with Breeze, ever since he's been here at the Saints, we've made a priority of having a good offensive line in front of him.
Yeah,
and that is in addition to the rules and changes that don't let quarterbacks get hit. That's something that's also
fan booing him. I get it because
let's talk about that.
In the heat of the moment, I get it that it's like, oh man, yeah, fuck this shit. That sucks. But you got to let that cooler head prevail. And I mean, the guy, how self-centered are we as fans? How messed up are we that this guy's life, this guy chooses his life over your entertainment? And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that upsets you, that the team you cheer for isn't going to be as good because the quarterback that you want to play decided he doesn't want to play football anymore. Deal with it. You know what? We should have been in the NFC Championship game, but the NFL decided not to call a penalty.
No, Jeff, we were in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, the Super Bowl. Yeah, see? I said Super Bowl.
I said Super Bowl.
But also, do you think any of those boos, and I might be wrong, I'm trying to protect those fans, you think it might have not necessarily aimed at Luck himself, but like, we just hate the situation that you're going. I mean,
it could have also been a preseason.
They were booing him for doing it.
It was a preseason game that they sat through, and they're just tired because it's a fucking preseason game. I mean, you never know. Preseason games have been that bad. Going to them.
Look, they were booing him. They were mad at him because he put them, and they're from their point of view, he put them in that situation.
Let me stop you right there. And for some of our younger fans, they won't understand this. But it is incredible. Okay, these people were in the stands. They didn't make an announcement over the loudspeaker. They didn't put anything on the Jumbotron. Okay, that's just how much social media is
so
different.
How fast the word travels.
20 years ago, if we would have been in the fucking stadium and New York would have been, nuked, we wouldn't have known until we left the game.
That's true.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's just incredible. Everybody in the stadium knew what happened because of social media.
So have you seen that video clip of him talking to Brissett when Brissett was like face kind of like, oh, right. Like, was that the moment that he told him and Brissett was like, what? Or was it just more of a joke that they were like, yeah, that's a meme?
We'll never know.
And Drew said, according to Mike, Drew said he learned on the sideline of our game too. So the word even spread to our own. So if you think about like the games that, those playoff seeding type games where you're trying to make a decision on what to do in the week 15 or 16 based on what the team's plan at the same time as you is doing.
Right.
They know.
Like, well, think about how quickly now people know how stupid we are. They can see us live, be stupid.
Right.
You know?
Only do it.
Kind of stupid.
56% of us.
All right, so I'm going to unpin Josh Carroll's comment about Saints trading and Teddy to the Colts for the first rounders. And anything else? Let's go to one more before we get to final thoughts. I do have – have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Who Dat Beer? I feel like it's been done before. Has it been done before? I mean, I know Bud Light does the Saints beers types things and all that, but has
I think so back in
the day. I've had a Who Dat Beer in the past.
There was definitely Who Dat Root Beer.
But there's been a Who Dat Beer. So who's making it? What's the deal? What's going on?
It's Urban South is doing a Who Dat Ale. It's going to be coming out. Should be available pretty soon. And it's 5.04 alcohol, 504. But So that should be available for Saint season. It's going to be a Kolsch style beer, a nice. They said they want it to be like a lighter tailgating type of beer. The second I see it in the store, I'm going to buy some. And I want to say they said it might be available in the Dome for some games this year. Because Urban South is going to have Paradise Park in there as well. So I think they're going to have this beer somewhere in the Dome. Probably not in my upper section. It's probably in the hoity-toity section, but still.
Urban South. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. But no, Urban South's you know, they're one of the part of the New Orleans craft beer explosion that's put out a bunch of beers, and you know, they got a couple of good beers out there. So,
oh yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, they Paradise. I mean, I've had Paradise Park. I can't remember what else they put out, but I mean, yeah, there's them. I mean, I've got Second Line, Bachelor Blonde. That's what I'm drinking now. I mean, there's just Nola. There's so many goddamn local breweries now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, nowadays, so easy to make beer. All right. So, final thoughts, Jason.
You got none.
Yeah, I got none. I mean,
well, here's my final thought.
Okay, go for it.
I mean, I'm looking forward to next week. Definitely need to promote. It is a big crossover show with the UK podcast.
That's right.
This will be our second annual joint podcast. We'll do one podcast with us and stay over and do theirs. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to speaking with our cousins across the pond again, as they like to say. You know, so that's, I just want to make sure everyone, you know, tunes in next week.
That's not
gonna be, actually, tunes in this weekend.
What? Yeah. Remember, because of the time difference, we got to do it like in the morning.
Right. But this weekend, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Either Sunday or Monday. Pay attention on Twitter. We'll tweet out when it's going to happen because we will live stream it.
Well, that's another thing, too. So last year, we just did it on Skype and then chopped it. Are we just going to do one giant Zoom?
Yeah, we'll send them the Zoom info and we'll get all six of us on the screen and I'll broadcast it. And
oh, God. Are they going to have jacked up teeth on screen?
Oh, my God.
Come on. I kid because I love. Come on.
That's almost racist, but it's nationalist? Or is it dentist?
Wow.
Wow, you're an asshole.
Yeah, Gage, that was really uncalled for.
It was.
I don't approve it.
It was. That's fine.
I don't approve it.
Apparently, shots are fired first by the Dome Patrol podcast.com.
That's right. It's my time. My turn to fire shots first.
That's right. Whew.
All right.
So we did this last year. It was so much fun, and I love the fact that we're doing it again at the time that we're doing it, which is it's kind of our tailgate party for the season.
Which means I get to get hammered on screwdrivers. I bought I got a nice bottle of orange juice in there. Ready to go.
Also, I drank some Bloody Buddy, which is the literal jar of Bloody Buddy. Is the name of it. And it's pre-mixed Bloody Mary, and boy, is it spicy, but it's very good. So I might do some Bloody Marys to begin mine. And then I'll switch to screwdrivers. No, you know what I'm going to switch to? My vodka and cherry squirts.
Okay. All right, squirt.
Do you have a final thought, Jason?
I don't have one this week.
All right, then that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Let's see. Where am I? You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. You can like us on Facebook to watch our live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And, of course, if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, live stream donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Everybody's got their cousin in Miami. Everybody understands the impromptu. Dancing in the heat to the beat that turns your clothing clammy. Everybody needs to have a dream come true. In a third world jungle, not so far away, lives a natural drummer with a dream to play. He's the brother of the lizard and the flying fish, but he's enchanted by the pictures from the satellite dish. So his mama packs his bag, knots his red necktie, sends him north to her relations with a kiss goodbye. He's bewildered by the plane ride and the immigration line until he sees his Christian name upon a cardboard sign. Everybody's got a cousin in Miami. Everybody is an aborigine. Dancing in the heat to the beat that turns your clothing clammy. Everybody wants to win that lottery.
And the winning numbers are 7, 6, 5, 3, 7, 9. Close. So close. Hard to believe the city started as a trading post, home to the Seminole pirate and pioneer. Between the river of grass and the old Mosquito Coast, before the railroad claimed the southernmost frontier. I am umbilically connected to the temperance zone. It brought me life, it brought me love I never have outgrown. Brought me one too many nights along that Biscayne shore, and one too many mornings in the Grove drugstore. In one way or the other, we're all refugees, living out this easy life below the banyan trees, smoothing off the rougher edges of the culture clash. We got a style, we got a look, we got that old panache. Everybody's got their cousin in Miami. Everybody understands the impromptu. Dancing in the heat to the beat that turns your clothing clammy. Everybody needs to have a dream come true. I do, I do. Let's take it down, boys. Down south. Little latitudes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, robot. Everybody's got their cousin in Miami.
Everybody is an aborigine.
Dancing in the heat to the beat that turns your clothing clammy. Under the stars in the bars down by the sea. Upbeat now, everybody's got their cousin in Miami. Everybody has to have that impromptu. What are we doing now? Dancing in the heat to the beat that turns your clothing clammy. Everybody needs to have a dream come true. I do, I do. I had this dream the other day. I was down on the equator. I didn't know whether I was up or down. I couldn't tell the difference. It was hot, and we were rocking. And the coral reefers gathered around me, and they said, "We want a raise, or we're gonna quit." And that's when I woke up. So play, boys, play.